And the next coach in our teleconference is Wisconsin's Brett Bielema. The Badgers are 3-2 in conference, 7-2 overall, ranked 16th in the Associated Press poll and 14th in the USA Today coaches poll. Wisconsin plays at Minnesota on Saturday, a 2:30 contest to be televised by BTN. And in conference news, running back Monty Ball was named the Big Ten Offensive Co-Player of the Week. Linebacker Chris Borland named the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks for that plethora of information. It was all good. Had an opportunity to play Purdue on Saturday. Felt our guys came out and played a four-quarter game. Take our preparation of this week. Chance to play a long-storied rival against Minnesota. 121st game between the two teams. They've gotten better every week, a sign of a great coach team, and showed very well, obviously, 2 weeks ago against Iowa, played very well against Michigan State. So we've got a difficult task at hand, and it's going to be an exciting environment over there in Minnesota. I know they'll have the crowd revved up, ready to go, and it's going to be an opportunity for our guys to go out and play again. So we're excited about that.
Thanks, Coach. Let's go to questions.
If you have a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. And your first question comes from the line of Dan Gilston with Associated Press.
Hi, Brad. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. During media day, you said that, talking about Ohio State, you wanted to bring the hammer down on the wrongdoers, rule breakers, and I'm wondering if you feel that applies at this point to Joe Paterno and what's going on at Penn State, and has your opinion changed of him and what's going on at that program?
Well, I think, the comment that you're referring to, the question that I had received at Media Day was about all the things that had gone in college football according to, NCAA rules, potential things that had broke down in the recruiting process in particular was what I was commenting about. So two different situations. I tend to keep comments particular to what they were applied to, so I appreciate what you're saying, but I hope you'll understand two different situations.
Okay, well, how do you feel, though, has what's going on at Penn State changed your opinion of Joe and the program?
I just like every other caller that's called in and asked, I don't really know a lot about what's going on. Obviously, watch things on TV, but I haven't really had any time to research anything. The only thing I can say is, obviously, if there are things that brought some situations to people's lives, you just hope that everyone cares over there and protects them and looks out for their best interest as this whole thing unfolds.
Thank you.
Again, if you have a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Chip Scoggins with Minneapolis Star Tribune.
Hi, Brett.
Hi, Chip.
Hey, I saw after the game you reported as saying that the previous 2 weeks felt like an eternity. How did you help your team kind of regroup after those losses and prevent it from snowballing? And then also, what did that win Saturday kind of do for the collective psyche of your team?
Well, I think as coaches and players, you invest so much during the course of the week into your preparation, into the planning, to try and get a win, and for it not to materialize, you just walk away with there's no prizes for second place in a game, so it's just that empty, hollow feeling, and to be able to win on Saturday, winning soothes the soul, and to get back on track. I think the way that we got to that point was we just focused on a one-day approach, a one-game approach, and that got us a victory on Saturday. And the same way now with Minnesota, we'll take our Tuesday prep, see how it affects that, and what we need to do Wednesday, what we need to do Thursday, and then practice Friday and travel Friday, and then get to the game on Saturday.
Again, if you have a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad.
Coach, talk about the all-around game that Chris Borland has last week, and talk about what an advantage to have two linebackers like Borland and Taylor back there patrolling the linebacking corps.
Yeah, those two guys in particular. Actually, Kevin Claxton, our only senior linebacker, the week before against Ohio State, probably played the most complete as a group of linebackers since, this year for sure, maybe since I've been here, just three guys really competing. Chris on Saturday was recognized as the Big Ten Player of the Week, with the tackles and the interception and also the forced fumbles. I think he's doing all the little things very, very well. He's played linebacker before, but this is his first year at Mike, so he's getting better with every game. We're fortunate enough and blessed enough to have him and Mike here together, both guys that can really, really run, and I didn't even realize that. I'm not a stat guy, but it was brought to my attention on Tuesday's press conference that they are tied 1-1 and 2 respectively in the league for amount of tackles, so I think that's a pretty cool thing for them, and hopefully the good news is that one's a sophomore and one's a junior, so hopefully only they get better.
Your next question comes from the line of Adam Rittenberg with ESPN.com.
Hey, Brad, I know you guys are excited about Monty coming off of last season, but what are some of the things that he's done just to be so consistent and obviously effective, especially getting in the end zone?
The two things jump out to me, Adam, is preparation. You know, for you to win games on Saturday, it doesn't happen by chance. You prepare during the course of the week, and I think coaches and players know that, but sometimes the fans don't see that side of it. But Monty prepares very, very well. He prepared all the way back since last January, the way he can recondition his body and his mind. And the second part, I think, is exactly what I just mentioned, his mental toughness. He is a very focused young man that he knows the details of winning at his position and how that can carry him to new heights. What he's done is just strictly phenomenal. I mean, all the stats and whatnot you hear, you realize this kid hasn't been in the fourth quarter in 7 of our 9 games. He's a kid that will do anything we ask of him, you know, in pass protection. You know, anything that we call his number on, he'll do it 100 times over. And in practice, is probably one of our most competitive practice players. I mean, he really enjoys the process that we go through to win football games.
You guys obviously have had a great tradition there at running back. You know, of the guys that you've been around for, where does he stack up as far as everything that he brings to the table?
Well, yeah, he's pretty good. I don't want to upset any players in the past, but, you know, again, what I've seen him do on a day-to-day basis just gives me a great indication that he's definitely our best practice player. Nobody has practiced as hard as he has at that position, in my opinion, since I've been here. The numbers he's putting up in regards to, you know, touchdowns, just, you know, again, he could have had 5 or 10 more if we wanted him to. It's just we don't pad stats or anything like that around here. We give it to the guys that are in the game and that are in a position to do it, but here's a guy you could be shattering the record books right now if we wanted him to, but he's just earning every step of the way, and I'm excited. You know, I think he could be really good next year. I just got to convince him of it. I'd like to have him here, you know, so it's going to be fun. And in regards to that, I think a lot of kids would get ahead of themselves and maybe start thinking about that. I had a visit with Monty and his parents during our bye week. We laid out the plan, what we're going to do, you know, moving forward, and give him the best information possible and what's best for his future.
Thanks.
Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of Kenny Rota with ESPN in Cleveland.
Hey, Brett, how do you employ, I seem to ask every coach this almost every week because there's a matchup where one team's the underdog heavily and one's the favorite. How do you avoid your team looking past, you know, Minnesota, especially after what happened, you know, this past weekend with some of the games?
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, I think that's our obligation as coaches is to educate our players on realizing that, you know, any given Saturday, anything can happen. Minnesota, you know, we've really concentrated on the film of the last 2 weeks because, to me, that's what the true team we're going to see on Saturday. The way they play, the physicality that they play with, the effort that they put forward on film and the way it carries forward. And then, really, when you're talking specifically about Minnesota versus Wisconsin, really all records, all numbers going into that game are immaterial. It's all about who can handle the environment that day the best. You know, it's really fun for the fans. I know over the course of the years there's been a long story tradition here of wild and fan crazy games. I don't like that side of it, but that's the reality of it. So you just got to take that game-to-game approach. And the one thing I have stressed to our guys, you know, I believe since I've taken over, we're 16-2 in the month of November. And, you know, that's a stat that as coaches, that, you know, we're proud of it. You know, the way we do things in this program 365 days a year is – what hopefully helps you have success in November, and we want to be able to continue to say that.
Why do you think the success rate, like for you, you mentioned 16-2, Ohio State's 18-1 in November. Did the kids pay more attention? Did they realize that the season's coming to an end? Why do you think maybe you have more success there?
Well, it probably helps if you have a little something to play for. I would hope that, you know, that means some. For instance, us last year, you know, I laid out a November calendar at the beginning of the month with the four teams we had in front of us and asked the kids to, you know, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, when we're getting ready to play a team, like if we were getting ready to close out against Northwestern, it was the same thing in the fourth week as it was in the first week, just stick to the plan. Once you start grabbing the straws or trying to, you know, change what you're doing or try to flinch a little bit to try and correct something that wasn't going right, you're going to run into problems. Just stay the course, stay true to who you are, and good things will happen.
Thanks.
Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of Tammy Madsen with CBSSports.com.
Coach, you mentioned yesterday that you were going to have a special speaker come in to discuss the Minnesota-Wisconsin rivalry. Can you elaborate on that right now?
Yeah, well this is a tradition that's gone back for a while, you know, just to educate people on the rivalry between Minnesota and Wisconsin. It's something that before I was head coach, it used to be Jim Huber, who ironically now his son and daughter both work for the Gophers because Jim went to work for the Vikings. And then actually my first year, Coach Alvarez gave it. I believe I gave it for a couple years in a row. And then I've kind of just always kind of rotated around amongst guys that I kind of just hand-select that I think could do a good job.
But you can't say who it is?
No, then it's not a surprise for my guys.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Thanks.
Yep.
We have time for one more question for Coach.
And your final question is follow-up from the line of Chip Scoggins with the Minneapolis Star Tribune.
Brad, I can't believe you let Hughes talk to your team, but when Russell joined your program, I think everybody said, yeah, that's a good fit, but you know, that doesn't guarantee it's going to click or you're going to have that chemistry on or off the field. What has what's enabled it to work, you know, so smoothly for you guys?
Well, I think first and foremost, from the outside world and even for me, not knowing Russell to begin with, I had reservations without a doubt. You're bringing somebody in for a one-year stunt, and you're not bringing them in to sit on the bench. You know, you're bringing them in to hopefully help you win football games. And everything that I was concerned about basically vanished once I got a chance to really get to know Russell, know who he is and what he is. I take a lot of pride as a head coach in evaluating the human beings that are coming into our program. It's easy to see a lot of our kids have talent. I mean, you watch it on film, and we give them scholarships. Other people offer them scholarships. But to me, the critical thing is what kind of people you have. Are they going to be able to do the things we do things a certain way here, and will he buy into it? And he's just been a tremendous fit. It's like he was born here. He's been a natural in everything he does. You know, Everett Russell could say that in a lot of different places. He's truly a very, very special human being that as a head coach, I'm blessed to be around him. He's made me better as a head coach. He's made our team better. And he'd be the first to tell you that we've all made him better. So it's just kind of a fun thing to be around.
Thank you, Brett.
Yep.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate the time. Talk to you next
Scott,
week.
Thanks.